Accession number 28455, Wheel 7.
John Davis, Wheel 7. Now, you would have been then in Tanganyika.
Yes.
At the time of independence, would
yes.
you?
Yes, yes, I was there for the celebrations.
Oh.
When it became Tanzania, and Julius Nyerere was elected and then made president, and by then we had a governor called Turnbull, and there's a nice picture of let me think, yes, of Nyerere walking down to hand Turnbull over onto the ship to sail away. Peaceful thing.
Yes, I believe there was very much a socialist slant to Nyerere, is that right?
Yes, it came, you see, at his celebrations he invited, by the way, his Edinburgh landlady out. He was at Edinburgh University, and various all sorts of people went to the party, including my wife, to his induction and our departure. And when we had departed, he brought a whole lot of people in from the countryside into the towns to make a social change of some kind. And it didn't sort of work. It started to go downhill. We felt we stayed on with our business. We felt it was going the wrong way, but there was no strife. We weren't pushed around, mistreated in any way. Our business ran on. I had another man came out from London to take over from me. We changed all our mining interests into a cooperative, so the Africans themselves did the, this is underground, this mica. 200-300 feet below ground with blasting and gelignite and rail mining. We handed over to an African co-op, but my replacement came from London, lived in our house, took over that branch. So,
did you have to change? You know, was this the government, the new government's policy, that there should be cooperatives, you know, which of course is part of socialism?
As it happens, that was done by us. My predecessor formed that co-op. An Englishman. But other things were done. The size of estates, which was much of the income. A good friend was Swiss, ran huge size of estates. But the great difference to my mind is none of us were settlers. We had no claims on the land. We were there on contracts, out from Switzerland, Britain, or wherever, and just doing tours and going home and doing and praying. So there's nothing, we were good friends. But he tried this huge social change. It didn't seem to work, and I gather from friends of mine who were in the administration, they all left, of course, all district commissioners, magistrates, police officers went, boom. We were only ones left for businessmen and bankers. One of them came back secretly, he lived over the road here, who became a minister in the British government, before we handed over, about handing huge sums of money over to Nyerere. We poured money in to try and help them, but it just disappeared. It didn't succeed. It's rather sad, because it was a very happy place and quite successful, really.
Yes, he seems to have had a very good reputation, Nyerere.
Good chap.
Yes, honest like and...
Yes, indeed.
And caring for the people.
Yes, yes.
Yes. I know he had a policy of an African federation, did he not?
He did, yes.
What did you think of that? You know, I suppose his idea, am I right in thinking that the Africans should band together and increase their sort of power against the rich countries?
It was. And ride up above the small tribal outlook and become bigger regional groups and have, as we had a regional officer, a British governor for the Eastern Province, our part was called, huge area, have someone like that as an African in that commanding position. He was trying to do that. But they all had this little tribal outlook, small groups, headmen. A headman was a Smith senior man. A small group under him only.
So the system was against him, the culture was against
him. Yes, he couldn't convert it that quickly. And here's this marvellous piece of newspaper I kept called Uhuru. And that was it.
Oh, yes, this
freedom.
Is splendid, isn't it? This is really, this would be Sunday News, December 1963,
is
wouldn't it?
Right.
Ah, yes. From petty sultanates to independent state.
Yes.
Looking back on Zanzibar.
That's it. Yes.
Well, again, another very historic document
piece of paper,
there.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I'm not going to keep
yes,
it.
You saw an awful lot, really, yes, didn't you, about the life of empire,
these
and you were
changes.
Indeed a participant.
Yes.
In this,
I felt about it all. Both bit very sad about India, but it had to be, and less so about this. It was called, you know, German East Africa. We were just under League of Nations. We weren't a colony like Kenya.
Do you think it, independence could have been... You've already explained that it was too hasty in India, and I think many
yes.
would agree with you on that.
Right. Yes,
so far as Africa is concerned, and I know it wasn't just the British, there were lots of other people,
yes.
and you have explained how Tanganyika was different. It wasn't a full colony.
No, it wasn't such.
No. But do you think the African situation and independence could have been handled more imaginatively? And, Africa is in such a mess today, isn't
yes,
it?
It is,
I mean,
it is.
For whatever causes.
Yes.
You see,
there weren't enough to hand over to. In India, we had doctors, police officers, magistrates, all sorts of educated Indians, just ready to fill the posts that we vacated. But there's very little of that in Tanganyika, very, very little. Not enough education, corruption beginning, police officers quite untrustworthy, you know. they weren't quite ready, so maybe the League of Nations pushed us a bit too quickly to give it away, give it back. We were there just to give it back. Since 1916 we occupied, the League of Nations said us occupy East Africa, German East Africa now in the war, and here we were in 63 and it was enough. But our last magistrate was a great friend of mine, now in Australia, an Englishman. The DC were all English, and there were a few African police officers,
yep,
taking on. The jail superintendent was African. I remember that was in our township, the jail. But they weren't quite ready.
And of course, you mentioned earlier on Southern Rhodesia.
Yes.
Which is now, you know, Zimbabwe. And with their leader Mugabe,
yes.
who seems
yes.
to... Yes, you know, when you were there, did it have... are you surprised that there's famine in that country?
I am indeed.
Yes.
We had a branch there, my firm, and I took over. When that man went to London on leave, came home, I took over the branch quite two or three visits. And everything was fine. The farms, I had a great Indian Army friend running a farm nearby. Of course, there were several British farmers running efficient farms and producing very fertile country. And this mica was there. There was all sorts of gold and copper and other stuff there to export. It's again mismanaged. Lovely place. We were going to send our children to school there at one time. There was an English-founded school near Salisbury. And then we changed to English schools, you know, these two boys, my daughter. So it began to founder. Dear old Smithy caused a little bit of trouble.
Did you know him at all?
I saw him once or twice, yes.
Yes,
I did.
Well, this UDI, that
yes.
Were you there at that time?
I was indeed,
yes.
Yes.
How did that, go down with people in the country, do you think?
We thought he was a bit of an oddball himself, bit of an odd chap to be trying to take charge.
Did you think the policy could work? A country taking...
Not yet ready again, not fully ready. They weren't these professionals ready to take over, as in India. In India they were ready, they were fully ready. I mean, there were all these Oxford graduates in India ready to slip into... Judge positions and all sorts. Army trained, worked in the British Army, they knew all about that sort of thing.
Mm.
Not in Africa.
Yes, but Ian Smith, do you think he was wrong to have announced UDI, unilateral independence? Yes.
Yeah.
And of course
we thought he was a bit too quaint.
sanctions were imposed, but in yes. your awareness, were they? You know, were you not still getting oil and other stuff through?
In my time, we were. Sanctions came a bit later. I was back in Tanganyika by then, and I left in 63, you see. Sanctions came later than that. I think we gave Smith sanctions, though, didn't we? I think.
Yes.
Carol Wilson.
Yes. Mm.
yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. So, well, they were on. We didn't notice it, no.
No. No. And of course, China, things have altered so much with China. Yes. I wonder how you reacted when the communists took over in 1949.
Yes. We were brought up and we knew songs and stories. We had two armours. One was the sewing armour, lived upstairs, and the other was our nanny armour. We had these two women in the house who tell us all sorts of stories, particularly. They all so much respected their elders, and that was wiped out in one blow by the communists. The elders were disrespected, spied on, stoned, you know, total change of culture came about with communism. The elders were not respected and venerated anymore. That was totally noticeable. We weren't there, I wasn't there, but I could feel it.
And today, of course, you know, China looks like becoming an economic giant.
Yes.
I wonder what you feel about that, and, you know...
Yes. Quite worried. I'm not so sanguine. It's they must learn a lot more about human rights. They've done some very cruel things now in modern times, clearing out hundreds of peasants to build somebody's mansion. Go and starve. The rich man builds his mansion and owns motor cars. And it's too much like that still going on. It's brigand country, really. And they're making money like fun, of course. And they're clever. Clever people. They'll do well. They might ease up on their... They're throttled a bit at the moment.
Well, perhaps one of these days, some of the people from New China will come to the museum.
Yes.
And
yes.
listen to your story about what it was like, you know, in the 1920s and 30s. And thank you very much indeed for sparing so much time for this interview. Unless there's anything else you feel you'd like to add.
Just that India really got me. I went there a second time after 15 years after 40s, after independence, after, and found a whole India still very fond of the British. Got on with them well. It was dealing with merchants who treated me honourably. I went into yoga. I wrote a book about in Sanskrit about yoga terms. Went to an ashram, got trained in yoga. So I feel close to India still. And ended there my overseas service very happily.
Well, thank you very much indeed, and I'm glad we've got the yoga in.
Yes.
Thank you.